Proverbs. My son, hear. Proverbs 23:26. This is perhaps, in my mind, the central theme of the book. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. So this is from Proverbs 23:26. It is in the King James it says, give me thine heart. Of course, so that seems a little more elegant than give me your heart, but it's the same thing. That's what it means. And this is the whole object of discipleship. This is the whole goal that we're trying to reach toward in trying to lead Christians in their Christian lives, how to walk with God. Give your heart to God. Okay, just give up your own plans, your own ways. Give your heart to God. That is what we're after. That is discipleship. That's Christianity. One of the great joys of parenthood is watching your children and now grandchildren grow up. It's such a blessing in our home these days to have a grandchild right nearby who we can watch go through all those phases. It's like watching our own little kids all over again. I do miss the little kids. I'm glad they're grown up, but I do miss those years. But so nice to have the little ones nearby that we can watch grow up and see all those phases. It's a blessing. Those first tottering steps to launching out in life on their own, every step of progress is a great joy. The most crucial step for my son, though, is to follow the ways of wisdom as revealed in the Bible, especially in Proverbs. In the New Testament, one of the images that we are given about spiritual life is the image of shepherd and sheep. In Proverbs, it is father and son, or sometimes mother and son. It is in this concern of the father for spiritual life that we are to mostly occupied in the book of Proverbs. And as I said, we could say this is the theme of Proverbs. So what we're going to do is we're going to organize. I've discovered, I think I said, 23 verses in the book that refer to my son, either the father or the mother speaking to my son. So we're going to survey all of those references, and then we're going to make some observations on them. So this is a little unorthodox in the way I'm doing this, at least according to my normal plan. But I thought I would try it this way this time. The call of the father and mother. So we're going to see this repeatedly. Proverbs 1 verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you. Proverbs 2:1. Proverbs 3:1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Proverbs 4:10, hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. Proverbs 4:20, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Proverbs 5:1, my son, give attention to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding. Proverbs 6:20, my son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Proverbs 7:1, my son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Proverbs 23:15, my son, if your heart is wise, my own heart also will be glad. Proverbs 23:19, listen, my son, and be wise and direct your heart in the way. Proverbs 23:26, give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. Proverbs 24:13, my son, eat honey, for it is good. Yes, the honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Proverbs 27:11, be wise, my son, and make my heart glad, that I may reply to him who reproaches me. So here are all these calls to wisdom. So, in the first section, I've called what the father calls the son to follow. I've left you a blank space. So here's where I would like you to think about it. What are the things that we see in this passage? And I have a few things in the notes I'll mention as we go through, but things that you see. What is the father or the mother calling the son to in these various invitations? Anything that you observe there that you'd like to mention? Addie.
The instructions.
The instructions, okay? The teaching, all right? Anything else that somebody would like to mention?
Well,
Rosemary.
To his wisdom.
To his wisdom. Okay. Anything else?
Also his ways.
His ways. Okay. So instructions are one thing, but ways are another. So observe what how the Father lives and follow that. Oh, Augustine.
Yeah. Counseling on the realities of life.
Okay. Counseling on the realities of life. Lola.
To eat healthy.
Pardon me?
To eat healthy.
Oh, to eat healthy. Well, okay. I think I see that's the one about honey, right?
Yeah.
Eat honey for it is good. Okay. So, well, that's true, but I think especially here he is using that as a metaphor for wisdom. But yes, okay. All right, somebody else have what? I was going to call you Martha. Marilyn.
His godly wisdom in general.
His godly wisdom in general. Anybody else have something you'd like to mention? Maureen, were you going to say something?
I think as he's listening to delight in it, like to think
okay.
positively and joyfully and... rejoice in the wisdom. That
okay, so listen with joy or listen with rejoicing. With a good attitude, right? With a spirit that says, okay, here's what God's word says, or here's what my Father's word says. The picture is Father and Son, so ultimately we look to the Father, God. So yes, okay, Cornelius.
No, I think it's just what we're seeing is a father discipling his son.
Yeah.
And teaching him how to walk in the way. So he's, you know, handing it down, the knowledge of the Lord, and wisdom, you know.
Yes. Right. So the Father's teaching the Son.
Ultimately, it's following God.
It's ultimately following God. That's right. Okay, so that's the thing. We're all getting this picture. Now, I'll just note down some things that I just listed things that the Father calls the Son. So, two times, the Father's instruction, the Mother's teaching, or the Father's commandment, my words two times, my commandments two times, my sayings two times, my wisdom, my understanding. And I think that was a parallel. Proverbs 5:1, my son, give attention to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding. So as we read that, you know, wisdom, we could sort of abstract it as something that's sort of a little, lofty and intellectual, but when we talk about understanding, you know, when you get one of those things that you know, buy in the Walmart, you buy something at Walmart, and they have instructions for how to put it together. All right, now how many of you have struggled with those instructions? All right, so you're trying to put this thing together, it's not fitting. You look at the instructions; they may or may not be written very well. Usually not. And so you're looking at it. There's a picture maybe. You're looking at the thing and you're trying to fit it and you think you got it. But it's amazing when you really understand, it fits together. Now, it might not be in a way that a normal person would think of it, but the engineer who designed it, you understand his thinking. All right, so then my ways is the other one. All right, so now, what do these instructions imply? What do they imply about the Father? What do they imply about the Son? Okay, so let's think about some things, some implications from these instructions or these calls. Go ahead, Marlena.
That the Father has wisdom to share.
That the Father has wisdom to share. So it implies the Father has wisdom, or the Father's a good example. All right, I saw another hand somewhere. All right, Jane.
Righteous living.
Okay, righteous living, okay. Anybody else have something, an implication? Marlene. Okay, the Father cares. Okay, what else? Other things that you would say, implications. There's no right one right answer. There's many that we could say. Jane again?
Western civilization.
Western civilization, yes. Well, there is something to that, isn't there? All right, anything else? I thought I saw another hand earlier. Cornelius?
Personifying God the Father, Jesus the Son.
Okay.
And just the way, you know, it's... You can extrapolate on a higher level.
Yes.
Like Psalms. David speaking with Jesus in the Spirit.
So yeah, that's right.
But here you could also have that. And when you look at Proverbs 8, compare it to...
Right.
Right. The wisdom Proverbs.
Right. So he's saying that you can personify this and apply it to the Father, God the Father, and God the Son. That's true. anything else that somebody would like to mention, Augustine?
Yeah, we can see the passion from the parents, I mean, from the father.
Yes.
And if he follows the steps, he will be successful.
That's right. So there's a real call from that father, a real desire for him to see that son adopt this way of thinking. Now, here's a couple of things I noted. Maybe this is just saying the same thing you guys said, but in a different way. So number one, the father is wise and experienced in the ways of life. So the implication is the father says, follow my wisdom. Now, some fathers could say that and you think, really? You got any wisdom to follow? Okay. And but this father says, follow my wisdom. So he is wise. He's a good example, as we said. What kind of voice does the father use as he speaks and invites the son to wisdom? Pardon me? Moral persuasion? Is that what you're trying to say? Okay, somebody else have a word?
He speaks from his heart.
Speaks from his heart? Okay, anything else? You aren't haven't hit my word yet, so that's why I keep asking.
Is it a command?
A command, okay, so the voice of authority. Okay, so there is a, as we said before, there is a moral component to following wisdom. Okay, so God calls us, and we have an obligation to follow. All right.
Well, it's an if then.
Yeah.
If you do this, then.
That's right. If then, that's right. Okay, so now what about the son? There's an implication about the son that I have put in my notes. There could be some others. What can you think of? What is implied about the son who's hearing these commands?
Well, that he needs wisdom.
Okay, he needs wisdom. What else? Marlene?
To be obedient.
To be obedient, okay. Anything else?
The prodigal.
Well, not necessarily. Remember, he's on the door. He can go off and be the prodigal. And what would we call that in Proverbs?
Fool.
The fool, okay. He can go off and be a fool. Or he can go off and become wise. So he's at the doorstep.
Are you like the threshold of decision? Like he's at the beginning of his independence? Or?
Very good. You have got, that's what I gave you a leading question, but that is exactly what I thought. My son is of an age to make a choice for or against the father and his ways. Now, when you have a very little child, you're mostly commanding. Don't go out into the street. Pick up your toys. Pick them up, I said. You know, okay. So you're commanding, you're controlling. You can actually physically lift that child up and put them where you want them to be. They didn't come, you grab them, you pick them up, you put them where you want them to be. Okay? So he's not yet at the age. I do think a lot of people make a mistake with their children when they're very tiny to reason with them. You'll see them in the store. Now, what happens when you do that, you know? And they're reasoning with the kid. The kid doesn't, he's not reasoning. He's just using you. You know, you are the parent. Command him, right? That really, anyway, I won't get off onto that. Okay. Now, but this son, when the way these appeals are being made, it is the voice of authority, is the voice of experience, it's the voice of wisdom, but he is saying, now you need to choose, my son. Okay, the son is at the point of choosing. All right, go ahead.
Throughout it all, the son needs to recognize the heart of the father.
He has to recognize the heart of the father. There are a lot of motivations.
Yeah.
Okay, so if a father is teaching his son wisdom, the son should realize this father has his best interests at heart. Okay, but the son still has to make a choice. Am I going to follow wisdom or am I going to follow foolishness? And there's going to be a lot of things in this book where he points out the ways of foolishness and how bad foolishness is. And he's also going to point out the ways of wisdom and how good wisdom is. But the choice is with the son, and the son is at an age when he can make that choice. All right, so then the focus of the calls, first of all, be wise. In Proverbs, this means in the fear of the Lord. It also means the skill to do God's will. Okay, but also he calls them to give me your heart. Verse 23, Proverbs 23:26. So we'll have many references like this in the Proverbs. I did put these on the screen, but here's a couple of quick references. Let your heart keep my commandments, Proverbs 3:1. If your heart is wise, Proverbs 23:15. Direct your heart, Proverbs 23:19. Give me your heart, Proverbs 23:26. Okay, so the giving of the heart. So what does that imply about that choice the son makes when he's called to give his heart? What does that imply? Maureen?
Like your whole self, like your whole being.
Your whole self, your whole being. What is the great commandment in the scriptures? Alright, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, this is the first commandment. Okay, so the call, this is again the call of the scriptures is devote yourself to God. Okay, I mean really, you've got to learn to put aside yourself and live for God. And, I mean this is a long process. I'm 67 years old and I don't think I've got it figured out. Okay? Gordon.
Psalm 37:4 says to delight in the Lord and he will give you
that's right.
the desires of your heart. Right?
Yes.
I once had a person that quoted the last part of that verse to me because they wanted to do what they wanted to do.
That's right.
They forgot the first part of the verse.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, yes.
But he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek.
That's right. And sometimes he actually gives you the desires.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you'll give your heart to God, you will learn to love the right things. Okay. Sometimes we'll say, God, I'll give you my whole life and I want this. Okay. Well, you know, that's not how it works. He says, just, you gotta give yourself to me. Okay. All right. All right. So a few, extra notes. The overwhelming focus of the call to the son in Proverbs is the spiritual life. It is this that makes the father's heart glad, not wealth, not worldly success, not many grandchildren, and not even the care of the old man in his old age. Okay? That's not what a spiritual father is after. Okay, so, I mean, I kid around with my kids that's their job, is to take care of me when I get old, but that's really not it. What I want for them is to serve the Lord. And that the young man's heart belongs to God. It's a spiritual emphasis and a pastoral emphasis. And I frequently think of that verse in John, 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children walking in the truth. And so this is what we're trying to reproduce here in your lives. All right, so now that's the call of the father and mother. We're going to be talking about the warning now of the path of death. So some of the ways that the son is addressed is by warning in this book. So here's a few. Proverbs 1:10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. My son, Proverbs 1:15. Do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. Proverbs 5:20. But why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? Proverbs 6:1, my son, if you have become surety for your neighbor, have given a pledge for a stranger, and then he goes on to say, deliver yourself. All right. Proverbs 6:3, do this then, my son, and deliver yourself. Well, I guess here it is. Since you have come into the hand of your neighbor, go humble yourself and importune your neighbor. All right. Proverbs 19:27, cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Proverbs 31:2, what, O my son, and what, O son of my womb, and what, O son of my vows, do not give your strength to women or your ways to that which destroys kings. So that's the mother of King Lemuel, I think it is, in Proverbs 31. All right, so here's where I put some blanks, and that goes with our various verses. In Proverbs 1, the dangerous aspects of sinners. So Proverbs 1:10, what is the danger. Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. What is the danger there?
Influence
or enticement, I think I heard somebody said. An enticement is what I have in my blank if you want to have the authorized version. Okay? All right. Now, whatever. The influence, the enticement. Sinners, they will put things before you and try to make it attractive. I don't know if they advertise alcohol as much anymore. I don't watch much TV anymore, really, that have commercials. I mute the commercials. I don't know what they're about. But I remember back in the day when we were used to watch sports when I was growing up, and alcohol was advertised on a lot of the sports. It's sort of connected. And, you know, and we would switch the channel. That was our deal back then. You'd have to have somebody sitting by the TV to switch the channel when the commercials came on. Okay, but here's the deal. All those commercials, how did they portray alcohol? Fun, social, successful. If you're a guy, you get all the girls if you're a drinker. I mean, that, not sure that really works. Okay, and it doesn't show the person who's become a problem drinker and who has become, out on the street and addicted to alcohol and other substances, and then the poison that it comes into your system, and people dying of alcohol poisoning. Never shows you that, does it? Sinners entice you, okay, with their lies, really. All right. Proverbs 1:15. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. What is the dangerous aspect of the sinner in verse 15? Their way or their path, yes. Their way or their path. Okay, don't go that way. Don't live like them. Proverbs 5:20. Why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? What here is the dangerous aspect of sinners? The word isn't in the text, so.
Immorality,
but even more, what's the... There's another word.
Temptation.
Okay, a little deeper. Okay, so I'll give you the word. They're lusts. Okay, so we all, now we can apply this, of course, to the immoral situation. My son, don't go there. This is the way of death. Proverbs is very strong on this. But we have desires that can be inordinate for... It could be for women or men, or it could be for some other thing. Even certain legitimate things that we might want, we want it inordinately. That's a lust. And so this is the dangerous aspect of sinners. They have passionate lusts that will be very tempting. Proverbs 6:1-3. My son, if you become a surety for your neighbor, have given a pledge for a stranger, do this then, my son. Deliver yourself, since you have become into the hand of your neighbor. Okay, so this one, we've talked about this one before in the recent studies. What would you call this one? The danger of the sinners here. What are we talking about when we're talking about surety?
Pledging for the debt of another.
Pledging for the debt of another. So they go get a loan, you put your name down as security for them. So what have you become then?
Guarantor.
Pardon me?
A guarantor.
Yeah, the guarantor. You become a guarantor, but what is the dangerous aspect of that?
You have to be responsible for the debt.
You have to be responsible for them?
You might have to pay.
Might have to pay the debt. So you are entangled. Mm-hmm. Okay, so with sinners, wisdom teaches us, don't get enmeshed. I think that's a term they use in AA. We had this friend who was, he used to always talk about this enmeshment. This is a term he would use. I think he got it from AA. You get involved with people who are walking down the wrong path, and you get enmeshed, entangled in their web, their life. And you can find yourself, even though you do not want to go their way, you can find yourself drawn or trapped into their world so that you end up doing unwise things. All right, so Maureen.
So in other words, you're saying it can be more than just financial debt.
Right. So wisdom looks at this verse. Okay, so it's very wise. Don't sign for somebody else's debts. Okay, but there is a sense in which we can apply this broader to life, to situations and people. People can entangle you in all of their wickedness. All right, Maureen?
So then, would it be like if you have like a a business arrangement with somebody who might lie.
Right.
And then you get entangled with it because you're have a bond with somebody who's not trustworthy.
Okay, so a business arrangement with somebody who might lie and you get entangled in their lies. That's right. That's one way. But we can make it any kind of relationship. Okay, so, a classic example is the girl who's dating the unsaved guy. To try, and he's really interested. He comes to church with me. Sure, he's interested. Like, he's interested in something. Is he interested in spiritual things? You do not know that. And the problem is that they become entangled. And the further you go in that relationship, the more enmeshed you become. And you can find yourself in a place where you almost feel you can't get yourself out of it. Okay, and it can create real shipwreck in lives. So the wise father is saying, my son, don't get yourself entangled. All right, let's see. The next one, Proverbs 19:27. The father warns of what from the father's wisdom? What does he not want him to do?
He wants them to always keep on listening.
All right, but what's the word here? Do not
disobey.
Stray. Okay, this one I'm looking for the word in the text. So not warns of straying from the father's wisdom. Okay, so that we do need to, when we need to study wisdom, this is why we talk about studying Proverbs. Now, like I said, sometimes you should take the time, maybe even if you took a proverb a day, just not the whole chapter, just one or two proverbs. And just made that a part of your daily devotion. And prayed about those words. Lord, help me understand this even more. What does this mean? What are ways that I can apply this to my life? Okay, and there's so many wise sayings in Proverbs. All right, were you going to say something, Mike?
Well, I, in that regard, I've heard of some people reading a proverb a day, but looking for some particular themes. So, for example, if you're concerned about your speech, then
right. Anything
that it says about your tongue and communication,
right. You're
attentive to that for the whole month. Where
sure.
You're trying to improve your knowledge.
Right. Yeah, so she's talking about looking at a topic and reading through the Proverbs like in a whole, like one whole chapter a day perhaps, and looking for a certain theme. So that's one way that we can talk about this. But you need to know God's wisdom and not stray from it. Now, but I'm even isolating it even further than that. You could make a lifetime of really studying out just a couple of verses, not even a chapter. Okay, so sometimes we get overwhelmed, especially in the chapters from 10 through 29 or so, and there's just proverb after proverb after proverb. And after a while, the first few, usually typically, if you read that, you start reading in that section, the first few, oh yeah, that's good, oh yeah, that's good. And then you're just reading. And then you get to the end of the chapter, what did I really get out of that chapter? Because there's so much. So that's why I'm saying, you just take some time. And you can do a topical study, you do have computer programs available. Nowadays, there's free ones that you don't have to pay a lot of money for. Well, free ones you don't have to pay any money for, but there are free ones available, and you can search out a topic. Like, just find a word in Proverbs, and you can limit your search to Proverbs, search out that word, write down all those references, and say, okay, I'm going to make a study through these verses, and I'm going to make some notes. What does God say is the wise way to deal with anger, for example, or with the tongue, or with the whatever, any topic you want. And so you can go through and really spend some time learning how God thinks. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I was thinking of your example of the television commercial with alcohol back in the day.
Yes.
It dawned on me that the devil's the ultimate salesperson.
Yeah.
Right? He sort of makes it, and to some people, he makes it sound good.
Yeah.
He entices you.
Yes.
And sometimes you buy in.
Yeah.
And then there's nothing but regret.
That's right.
Buyer's remorse. Why did I buy that thing?
Yes.
And as a Christian, that can happen.
Absolutely. Yes.
You've got to be very careful.
Yes. Okay, very good. All right, last one. The mother warns the king about. Now, this one is not. What, O my son? What, O son of my womb? What, O son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women or your ways to that which destroys kings. So I'll just give the blanket I have here because it's not from the verse. Warns the king about unbecoming behavior. Okay, so I'm sort of I slowed down on this one. Implications of the warnings. I'm just going to run through my notes. You can make notes, and then as we can comment as you wish as we go through this. First of all, the wisdom to which the Father calls the Son is not merely comprehensive Bible knowledge. Okay, so it's not simply that you become a Bible student and you know a lot of facts about the Bible. Now, I have been a Bible student all my life. I think even before I went off to college and started to go into the ministry, I was, as a child, very interested in Bible things, and I learned a lot of things about the Bible. And of course, once I went to college and then I went to graduate school, especially in graduate school, it was intensive Bible instruction all the time. All right. I have known guys who had the same kind of Bible instruction who made a mess out of their lives. So it is not merely Bible knowledge that we're after. We are calling to wisdom. The way to fail of wisdom is to walk in disobedience to wisdom's precepts, or to act in disobedience to wisdom's precepts. So we're not really merely talking about obedience. You can go through the Proverbs. Okay, it says don't do this, do this. Don't do this, do this, do this, do this. Okay, so if I just make my list of rules, I've got all my wise rules, and now I live out my wise rules in my life. That's not the goal of Proverbs. Remember the heart. The goal of Proverbs is for the heart to be engaged in the wisdom the Father is giving. But we will say this. Okay, so we're not merely looking for obedience, but failure of wisdom follows from simple disobedience. That's the paradox. Okay, so you have a rule. He says, for example, why should you, my son, verse 520, why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? All right, so here's our rule. Now, it's not merely keeping that rule that is going to make you wise. But as soon as you break that rule, you're a fool. You see what I'm saying? So you need to draw from the wisdom, and you need to really give your heart to this. But you also need to not disobey it. All right. Okay, and then the way of wisdom is a higher standard than mere public morality. So the mother of King Lemuel reminds her son that certain behavior is not appropriate for him. Others may be considered good citizens and behave in such a way. Okay, but if you are among the wise, it is not for you. So in other words, what I'm saying is we shouldn't be satisfied merely by public morality. By that I mean by the standard that our culture sets as what a good person is, or a wise person is. What we're talking about is wholehearted devotion to God. All right.
Can I just back up?
Sure.
Just a couple of parts of your note. You had a statement that talking about whether the obedience is the downfall of something.
Well, I said there, mere obedience is not enough. Remember the heart, but failure of wisdom follows from simple disobedience.
Failure of wisdom
follows from simple disobedience. Yeah. All right, Gordon.
I find it interesting that, I wonder if. Lemuel, is it how you say it?
Lemuel is how I say it. I don't know if that...
Okay.
Just say it fast, it doesn't matter.
your ways to destroy kings, if he's writing after Solomon has wrote.
That's right.
These other Psalms.
Yes.
Kind of
it is ironic. Some of the writings of Solomon are ironic, but we do note that Solomon's failures mostly came in his old age.
Yes, but okay. Those are the failures.
Exactly. It's like Solomon, did you read your own works?
Yeah.
Exactly, yes.
I had exactly the same question.
Yeah.
If we assume this was told, or these instructions were given to Solomon,
yes.
Despite that God gave him the wisest heart among people at that
yes.
time, like why would he have
Well, okay, so that's an interesting study by itself, but I'll say this. First of all, as far as the authorship, I believe that probably the first 9 chapters Solomon himself composed. Then the rest of it he collected. All right, and there are certain ones it says, these are the proverbs that the servants of Hezekiah copied out. So those were added later, much later, but they were apparently also collected by Solomon. Okay, so I believe that this whole book was constructed by Solomon. Parts of it were things that he collected from others, and parts of it he wrote himself. Now, in terms of timing, this was done more in his ascendancy, when he was living the wise life. But then you read in, I forget if it's Chronicles or in Kings, it says, he multiplied to himself wives, an unwise thing to do. And those wives, I'm not sure if it uses the word stole his heart or not, it might, but they led him astray. All right, Maureen?
Well, could you say then that he is the perfect example of all of this?
Yes.
In a certain sense, right?
Yes.
Because he didn't have wisdom, and when he disobeyed, it was his ruin.
That's right. So he had wisdom at a point, then when he disobeyed, it was his ruin. All right, Mialo?
First, I would repeat it, or one sentence, you say, if you disobey, that is a bully. Can you repeat that sentence?
Okay, so... Oh, I see. Well, failure of wisdom follows from simple disobedience. Is that the one you want?
Yes, I need to repeat again.
Okay, failure of wisdom follows from simple disobedience.
Okay.
So you can fall off the path of wisdom real quick. Okay, but just obeying isn't going to give you wisdom. That's the point. That's part of the point I'm making. Obeying is important. Okay, obeying is important, but you have to go beyond obedience to get to real wisdom. All right.
It says in
1927, right? Yes. Cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Yes. That's exactly right, yes.
Well, I was asking about, talking about 31:2.
Yes.
Which is the last chapter.
Yes.
Do you think it was Solomon's mother?
I'm not sure. That is a little bit of a debate. Is Lemuel Solomon? Okay, or, yes. So, we don't know. But I do believe that he himself, like before Hezekiah's men added in those verses, those passages, like it's about 5 or 6 chapters of Proverbs. I believe I think it's 29 and 30 were the end of the book originally. Now we're getting off into some technical stuff here. But 30 and 31 rather, not 29 and 30. 30 and 31. And 31 is the absolute conclusion of the book. And we'll get there eventually. I think it's actually a very beautiful way to wrap everything up. And I think Solomon put it there on purpose. It's really a remarkable chapter, but we're not going to get to that one just yet.
So you're saying it might not have been his mother who said this, but
right.
Yet he was aware of these words.
Right. It may be something he collected from somebody else. Okay. So that's a possibility. It doesn't give us enough indication to tell one way or another. Either his mother said it or somebody offered it to him. Okay. So whatever. Okay. Okay, so let's go to the last section. We only have a few minutes. Let me just quickly, the hand pointed to God. We just have a few verses here. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. Proverbs 3:11. Proverbs 3:21. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Proverbs 24:21. My son, fear the Lord and the King. Do not associate with those who are given to change. All right, so I'll just give you quickly these blanks. The father's call to wisdom is a call to a relationship with God and his laws. The call that focuses on the Lord emphasizes God's majesty and power. The call is a loving call, but the Lord is a strong and mighty Lord. The heart that belongs to the Father, to wisdom, and to God is one that walks in the fear of the Lord. Now, in the doctrine of inspiration, now as we said, Solomon wrote or collected these words. But Solomon is not the ultimate author. God is the ultimate author. And so ultimately the Father is God. And it is God who calls you to respond, to walk in the ways of wisdom and to shun the ways of the wicked. It is God who delights to see his saints walk with him in the way. The relationship between man and wisdom is the family relationship between man and his God. So this is the big part of Proverbs. This is what we're being called to. Cornelius.
I think to me, the big part of Proverbs is that flesh can't perfect flesh. And so it has to be a work of the Spirit.
Right.
And you have to commit your works to the Lord. Proverbs 16:14.
Yeah.
So your work is, what correction do I need? How am I not living out this life?
That's right.
And I have to, in faith, commit it to the Lord and trust.
Right.
That he's going to complete the work that he started in me.
Yes.
Because if I try to do it like out of my logic and
yes.
read it, and I can read it, makes sense logically.
Yes.
It, just like you said earlier, it doesn't change.
That's right. That's right. So that's a very big observation. This is a spiritual response. It's a spiritual life. And if flesh only begets flesh, as you said. And spirit begets spirit. So we need to commit our spirits to walking with God. This is what this calls. Lola.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Yes.
And lean not on your own understanding.
Yes.
In all of your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So I think this is all a call to trust God.
That's right. Exactly right. And that's a very appropriate verse to end on. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That's really good, Lola. Thank you. All right. I think we're done. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this time today. We pray for your blessing on our study. Help us to be faithful to you. Lord, help us to be wise. Work in us. Make us the kind of creatures you want us to be. Lord, we have children to raise. We have friends to influence. We have a world to reach. And Lord, there's so many that don't want to hear, but Lord, help us to be wise and to know how to speak and to reach them. To bring them to Christ, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.